coming. I think it's a fine day, isn't it? At least so far. It's supposed to get hot and muggy, but we can handle it. Thank you for your patience. I missed last Wednesday night, but she spent 2 days in intensive care, and then another day in a regular room, and then came home, and Brenda cleaned the house and chased 6 kids around for 6 days straight. So if she looks tired, she is. Okay. All right, very good. Announcements. We have the big one coming up, and that's Bible school. Bible school is not next week, but the week following on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. If you can help in any way, that would be appreciated, and there will be something to do, believe me. Our theme this year is a farm, and so we're in the process right now of gathering farm-looking backdrop. So next Sunday, the stage should be decorated, and it should look like a farm, all right? And so that's the that's it. I'm not real familiar with cowabunga, but that is the title of the Daily Vacation Bible School. So keep that in mind in prayer. That's our next big event. Also, tomorrow, I'll be driving 2 campers up to camp up north, and for a week. So I won't be up there a week. I'll be coming back, but I'll leave them up there, and you can pray for that as well. There's a vote that would be next week. That's noted in your bulletin about new members. We then have a board meeting on the 18th, so just note that. And then August 13th, now that's a month away, but wouldn't you agree time flies? It flies when you're getting old and having fun. And if you're getting old and having fun, like Leroy, it really flies, doesn't it? Okay, all right. So anyway, that's it. It's good to see Maxine. We're still praying. And what day?
Tuesday.
Can I say this? You're going under the knife. Okay, Brenda told me, don't word it like that. That sounds awful. But we'll pray for Maxine on Tuesday. And Jonathan? Okay, so the chemo is doing something good. Okay, that's good. And Allison is apparently
doing good.
Okay, well, that's something to be thankful for. So we've got that, and then our condolences to Judy Willman. Her mother passed away yesterday, and so that's just keep the family in prayer, and hopefully through all this, the gospel could be clear and Jesus Christ could be lifted up. That's our prayer. And the good news is this, is that Judy's mother did know Jesus Christ as her Savior and was ready and looking forward to going home. And she called her home heaven, not her apartment. Okay, so that was that's good news. So with that, there's also an announcement for Tony. And are we going to get to hear you, Tony, in a couple minutes? All right. And Tony is taking the plunge. And there is a 9:30. This isn't for, this isn't for men. All right. 9:30 here at the church, a bridal shower. for honoring Samantha, not Tony, Samantha. So with that, I'll invite Bob to come up, and while he's coming, if you could open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 1, that's where the scripture reading will be taken from.
As we look at Psalm chapter 1 today, as we begin there in verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in due season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but like the chaff which the wind driveth away, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Chapter 2, verse 1, concerning the Anointed One. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree, the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled, but a little blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Just the one couple comments about Judy's mother. I had been taking her recently quite frequently to affiliate it for her tests and doctor's appointment, and she would talk to me some days before we would leave and tell me how she wanted to just pass away quietly and would ask me to pray for her. And all of her children were together on the 4th of July after she had been found laying on the kitchen floor, and there were grandchildren there and some great-grandchildren. And the grandchildren, she would tell them, I want to go home. Well, Grandma, you are home. No, I want to go to my heavenly home. She had a little notebook laying on her kitchen, on her table, and I was reading in it, and she had her testimony written in there, what she once read at her funeral in Psalm 121 and Psalm 23. She says, I don't want a lot of preaching. I want a lot of gospel singing. And she wants the grandchildren to sing like they did at their, I think it was their 50th wedding anniversary. And her testimony that she had written was, I thank God that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for me and take away all my sin. And I thank him that he prepared a place in heaven for me. She once read at her funeral. Let's pray. Father, we thank you how you make it so plain in the Word of God that we can know you personally as our Lord and Savior, that you may make it known unto us that if we believe in thee, if we trust in thee, that you're able to wash away our awful sin with your precious blood. We pray, Lord, for each here today that their hearts have been opened to the Word of God and that they can say from the depths of their heart, I know my Jesus. I know he is my Savior. Father, we pray your blessing on the service today. In Jesus' name, amen.
For the 4th of July, and last week we talked about freedom, and the week before we talked about, there was Father's Day, and then we talked about men and masculinity. And if you wanted to continue, what is a real man? This is just one of the pictures I showed. Why would I buy a dishwasher? I married one. And there was a couple other cartoons that we had. And is this what a real man is all about? And I think we would all agree today that not only is this a wrong picture, but is masculinity and femininity are being destroyed. And the Word of God has clearly made a distinction between men and women. And today I want to talk about men a little bit more than being a woman. We can address that a little bit later, but I think you'll get the point. And young people, and girls in particular, pay attention to this message this morning because we're going to take a look at what does it mean and how do you pick a lifelong mate? And is there something that you can observe? And we'll take a look at that. One of the broad qualities, and I tried to put that like an umbrella, okay? I can't draw very well, but picture an umbrella. And we've got responsibility. And underneath that umbrella, we've got three more umbrellas. And as we stop and we think of masculinity and what does it mean to be a man? Now, it's hard for me to say masculinity. Did I do okay? All right, so I'll just say being a man. Men do what? And one of the things that men are responsible for is to lead, protect, and provide. And in the context that we're talking, this is towards women. Now, this is a general term, and I have listed a list right here, particularly leading, that just like capital punishment in the Bible, we have underneath capital punishment an umbrella that certainly gives the government authority to have lesser punishment for lesser crimes. And so as we stop and we think of husbands, the relationship that you have with your wife is different than the relationship that you have with other women. However, in the general principle, there is a place for men to lead. I don't know if any of you remember the day when it was considered wrong for a boy to hit a girl. Does anybody remember those days? You have to be over 60, I think, to remember that. And as we stop and we think of holding the door, did you remember the days when you held a door for a woman? And I would certainly hope when it comes to protection that if some clown came in here right now and started to threaten, that you would protect, a real man would be willing to do what? Not just protect his own wife, but protect everyone. And I think that as we stop and we think of these qualities that we have, and of course, providing for, and as we think of providing, and I'm only going to talk about leadership this morning, and I'd like to talk about the other two in the subsequent messages that we have, because there's a lot that we can learn about this. This morning, we in Sunday school, we talked about Samson. In Samson, picking a wife, and what went on with the choice that he made. And so as we stop and we think of leadership, and I want to just move right into to this right here. Last 2 weeks ago, we looked at this particular picture right here. And what did we observe? We observed that God created Adam and Eve. That reminds me of a little joke that I heard, and it goes something like this. This little boy went to his dad and asked, well, where do we come from? Where do humans come from? And the dad says, well, God created Adam and Eve, and they had children, and their children had children, and the human race just grew from there, and here we are. And, he goes and asks his mother, mother, where do you think humans come from? And she says, well, many years ago, we were all monkeys, and we've just evolved, and here we are today. So the little boy goes back to his dad and says, one of you is lying, because this is what mom told me, that we came from monkeys. And the dad says, no, son, she wasn't lying. She's talking about her side of the family. Okay, now that's a good Father's Day joke. We'll have to kind of reverse that for Mother's Day, I guess. But let's just assume that the dad was right on this one, and that the Word of God is true. God created Adam and Eve. And he gave Adam some instructions, and I've mentioned this before, that God never told Eve not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He told that to Adam. And it was Adam's job to inform his wife and to lead her correctly. And as we stop and we think of the ultimate leadership that men should provide, and that is this: to bring glory to God, to affirm the will of God. And one of the parts of the story this morning that that we made reference to with Manoah, who was Samson's father. And when God, through an angel, told Samson that they were going to have a baby, and then it was made manifest that this man that told him that was an angel, as the angel went to heaven in the flames. Manoah, Samson's dad, and he wasn't even conceived yet, but said, oh, we've seen God, we're going to die. And his wife, his helper, helped him get his head on straight and informed him that if God wanted them dead, they'd already been dead. But he gave them a promise, and he had a plan for them. So just relax, husband. And she relaxed him with the word of God. And I might just say that as a helper goes, that's a big responsibility too. But this is primary. And men, if you are not interested in serving God, and you've got another agenda, then my advice to girls who may be considering you as possible marriage bait. Now, I know some of you are too old and too late for this, but listen, and maybe you can pass on a few points here. Picture a stoplight. We've all seen a stoplight, haven't we? If you had driver's training, what's on the top? Red, yellow's in the middle, and green's on the bottom. I always thought the red should be at the bottom because that looks you right in the eye, but the red's at the top. And when you are considering a person, picture a stoplight right over their head. Is it green? Is it yellow? Is it red? And we'll take a look at some indicators of what that should be. That picture that we just had of the macho man having his wife wash the dishes, et cetera, et cetera. I might just say that there's a big difference between being a leader and being a dictator. And as we stop and we think of some of the differences, and I just put a couple of things, and in the person of Jesus Christ, we have, who is, by the way, called our captain. And in the book of Hebrews, Jesus is called our captain. He is our leader. And as a leader, there is nobody that is more sensitive to our needs. There is nothing dictatorial, or I don't care what you think, it's all about what I think. We don't find that in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has our best interest in mind. And by the way, if you're here this morning and you don't know that you have eternal life, you don't know where you're going when you die. And the Bible tells us that there is a fear of death that fills, that's also in the book of Hebrews, that is in all of us. And yet, in Christ, we can have a hope and we can face death with confidence. Outside of Jesus Christ, death is horror. And rightfully so. But I want you to know this, that Jesus Christ understands the horror of dying outside of Christ. And he did everything possible for people to not die outside of Christ. In fact, he became our substitute and took our death for us. Jesus Christ, when he died, did not pay for his own sin. He paid for my sin. He paid for your sin. And because our sin is paid for, we can have the gift of eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's you, that's me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus Christ is the perfect example that we have. And as we stop and we think of the perfect man, just follow the life of Christ, how he dealt with women, how he dealt with men, and how he operated. You have leadership, you have provision, you have everything in Jesus Christ as our example. So if you're not involved with Jesus Christ, then you're involved with the wrong thing, no matter what it is. End of that story. Let's go on. And I'd like to ask a question. How do you know if you have a man? And I know that for some of you, look at Brenda. She's sitting there thinking, "No, it's too late. Why didn't you tell me this before we got hitched?" But it's not too late. If there's life, there's hope. You got that? There still is a chance to be a man, men. And so, girls, women, how do you know? How do you tell? And you young people who are thinking about getting married and have your eye on a number in the opposite sex, listen up. And as we stop and we think about this, I just want to talk about some basic human tendencies here. Point number one is this. When we get romantic relationships all tend to be irrational. You say, really? Is that true? And what does it mean to be irrational? And as we stop and we think of being irrational, it's when reason is negatively influenced because we get emotionally involved. We don't reason anymore. And I might just say that it's interesting, before you get married, how forgiving we are of traits, and after you get married, those traits aren't so cute anymore. Is that true with anyone, or that never happens in marriage, I guess, that doesn't happen. Now, I'm not saying that love is a mental disorder. All right, this is just things that are true of us as people. Let me go on. Number two, in romantic relationships, we all tend to be emotional. Well, that emotion it takes us back to becoming irrational. And as we stop and we think of emotion, I might just say that God gave us emotions. Emotions themselves are not bad. Emotions are good things. But emotions becomes bad when it overshadows or overcomes or conquers reason. And it's important for us just to understand that we all have these particular weaknesses when it comes to romantic relationships. And maybe some of you can remember when romance was part of your relationship at one time. And can anybody remember that? Okay. All right, let's not get too personal here. Point number three. In romantic relationships, and young people, listen up. We all tend to get physical. Getting physical and physical attraction and touching is part of the desire that God created. And as we stop and we think of, what's that all about? I might just say this, that physical touching is wrong when it violates Scripture. Now, you might say, does Scripture say much about it? And Scripture does. And I don't want to go into this too much right now or take the time to go into it. But I will say this, and I just want to talk about physical relationships right here just because we live in a culture where sex is talked about openly, freely. Relationships that are contrary to the Word of God are actually taught in our schools. It is encouraged on commercials on TV. You can't even turn a show on. The old family-friendly sitcoms actually are not that friendly to families. In fact, they're quite destructive when you stop and you think of the influence that that they have. And so when it comes to touching, I just heard this from somebody a long time ago, and here is a point. The further you go with touching, now just stop and think about this. Young people, you start holding hands. Do you ever really back off? No, once you go, there's a tendency. Now, there's sometimes it's hard. You just got to say, I've gone too far, I'm backing off. But that's hard to do. So here's the point. The further you go, the further you go. There's only one direction to go. And we need to be very careful about that. It's interesting if we talk about actual sexual relationships, the Word of God reserves that for married people only. And it's important for us to keep that in mind. The second point I'd like to make about this is that early sexual contact leads to confusion. And you might ask, well, why is that the case? And the reason is this, that we often, particularly the younger we are, in fact, I don't know, maybe this, how young is that? Under 50? I don't know. We confuse physical pleasure, which is designed by God, with what real love is all about. And it's important that we don't make that. premarital sex builds mistrust in a marriage. Premarital purity actually builds trust later on. These are general principles that we need to keep in mind. Now, I know that in the culture that we live, there's lots of failures in particularly those areas. And I'm not here to try to, make somebody feel bad about their past. However, as we stop and we think about this, in grace, God can help us overcome the past. He is the healer. And without the Word of God and understanding these particular issues, it's very difficult for us to cope with this. The divorce rate in our country is very high. And the only reason it's not higher is because, what do they say? The number one reason for divorce is marriage. So really, people aren't getting married. They're just shacking up. And then they break up, and who knows, what's happening. But the whole institution of marriage, which the Bible says is a very honorable thing, is a very good thing, and it becomes the bedrock of any civilization in any culture. Very important for us. I can remember a statement that was made. I was coming out of high school, and I remember this, and it stuck with me all my life. That when it comes to sexual attraction, girls, boys are animals. Between 18 and 22, don't believe anything else. And here's the thing between a difference. Girls will tend to play with sex to get love. Boys will tend to play with love just to get sex. Now, when they get their way, who wins and who loses? And I've observed this, that oftentimes it's the girl that really gets hurt in these relationships. And they're the ones who didn't get what they were really looking for, and that was love. And and so it's important that we protect that. By the way, when we talk about a true man is a protector, we might think of, well, I'll protect you with big locks and I'll carry a Glock around or something like that. But non-physical protection is very important. And how about your reputation? And you guys who bring your girlfriends home at 3 o'clock in the morning, what are you doing for her protection? You guys who don't care about the parents' wishes of their daughter are showing disrespect. And girls, take note of that. Take note of that. And I'm not saying you should flash your red light on, but at least go from green to yellow. Does that make sense? Be cautious as we stop and we think about that. Here is something you can just take note. Lust. And the idea of lust is I want something physical. Lust cannot wait to get. Love cannot wait to give. Catchy little statement. Keep it in mind. Isn't that true of Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ loved us, and he gives to us. Now, as we stop and we think about this, how do you recognize a good leader? And as we, first question, and girls, I'm looking at this from a biblical point of view, that the man is the head of the home. His primary responsibility is to bring honor to God and to obey him, and you're to help him do that. You're his helper. That is primary. And first question you should ask if you go out with someone is this: who does this guy recognize as his head? Who is in charge in his life? And it might not be apparent, and I might just say this, that when it comes to irrational behavior and emotions, there are guys that will claim to be a Christian. There are guys that will claim to love the Bible just to get you. And when they get you, throw all that out the window. And it happens over and over again. And we'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later. Ask yourself this question. If I attached myself and actually ended up marrying this guy, would he lead me into God's will? Those are kind of hard questions to ask, but you need to ask them. And you need to think about this. And as we consider this, had that out of whack right there. True masculinity, that's being a man, will do this. So let me just ask a few questions here. And I might just say that this right here, I believe, is a red light. Leads through ultimatum. And as we stop and we think of an ultimatum, the idea is this: you do this or else. Girls and men, if you're like this, reconsider. In fact, I just read this, where there's a group of guys, and this isn't that recent, that say this. This is their condition. If I can't get a girl in bed in 4 dates, I'm done with her. Really? Well, who do you think you are? That is ruling by ultimatum. That is a red light all the way. Put your red light on and girls, run. Run. You do this or else. Let me give you another one. Leads through guilt. It's kind of interesting this morning, and this can go both ways, so all of you listen up. If you manipulate through guilt, and girls, if you see this in a guy who pouts, who kind of makes you feel like you're inadequate in some way, just go from yellow to red on your little light switch, all right? And you with me on that? Samson, the story of Samson. We won't turn there right now, but Samson had a riddle for his new pagan family. And he got married. And at the 7-day wedding feast, he put up a riddle. And what the riddle is at this point isn't that important. What's important is this, is that they didn't know the answer, and so they told his wife and threatened his wife and made her feel guilty because we are your brethren. Not only will we kill you, you are a traitor if you don't get this answer out of your husband. So what did she do? She cried and she pouted and she nagged. And she just made Samson feel terrible all week. And finally, Samson caved in. And he gave her the answer. I might just say that if you lead through guilt, men, you're not a man. That is not being manly. And girls, think about this and take note of it. Leads through jealousy. Girls, you go out with a boy, and maybe he's invited you to some school party or something like that, and you say hi to another boy, and he gets mad. Go from yellow to red. Does that make sense? There's no reason for that. Listen, people, all of you, all women that grow up, are going to have different relationships with men. They're going to talk to them. Doesn't mean they're in love with them. But if jealousy comes in. I'll tell you what, things never get better after you get married. And if you think you're going to change a guy, think again. If you think you can, just talk to some of these married people that are here today who have been married for a long time, and just ask the women, how long did it take you to change your husband? And here's what they're going to tell you, if they're honest. I'm still working on it. Now, maybe I'll make a list at our 50th wedding anniversary of how many real changes this guy has made. Let's just be realistic. And it's God that can change people. And men, this is the good news. We can change. We can change. But it's only as we submit to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit works with us that this can happen. Here is a question. Does this guy that I'm going out with, does he recognize and bring out my strengths? Does he recognize you might be good at something? Or doesn't he care? You're just a trophy. So just shut up and be a trophy. And as we stop and we think about this, does he sincerely, and emphasis on the word sincerely there, solicit your opinion about anything? Did you know that it's not unmanly for a husband to ask his wife, well, what do you think? What's your opinion concerning this? You know, women can think too. Did you know that? And when we stop and we look at the life of Christ, he treated women with a lot of respect. And being a leader involves treating your subordinates with respect. And that's important that we get. Sixth point, how does he behave when he makes a mistake? This is kind of interesting, wouldn't you agree? Men, do you make mistakes or do you never make a mistake? Now, if you date a guy who knows everything, who's never made a mistake, who's telling everybody what to do, let me give you a little advice. This guy is a legend in his own mind only. And there are people who are legends in their own mind. But when we make mistakes, how do we respond? Are we willing to take responsibility? I've got that. But, you know, it's not uncommon to blame other people. Does anybody know that? No matter what goes wrong, it's somebody else's fault. It's their fault. It's this situation. It's this, it's this, it's this. And, you know, sometimes it can be other people's fault. But what's your responsibility? Are you going to just step up to the plate and fix it? Or are we going to sit here and play the blame game? It's kind of interesting. I don't know if the Democrats or Hillary win the presidency, we'll have four more years of blaming George Bush. Now, you know what? George Bush wasn't perfect, and there's some things he probably could be blamed about. But come on. Is this our excuse? Let's just blame somebody else. Let's just blame somebody else. And I've mentioned this on government when we talked about that with politics, that if you've got politicians, if you've got government officials that simply blame and never take responsibility as leaders, then vote them out. I don't care what party they're in. Vote them out. We need men, leaders, who will take responsibility. So, girls, some guy takes you out, he's driving the car, watch him drive. Is he cursing? No, he won't curse because he thinks you're a nice Christian girl. At other drivers? Is he a ramrod? Does he have road rage? What's the deal here? And guys, if you're like that, settle down, would you? Settle down. But take note, and don't turn your light green for a person. In fact, that old adage, you know, maybe you should date more than one guy. Check it out. It's probably not a bad idea. Does that make sense? Kind of make your list. Be smart about this. What do you guys think? Is this kind of an interesting list? I hope so. And I hope it causes us to think that God does have a plan for marriage. And part of that plan involves getting to know a member of the opposite sex. But before you hook your wagon to that horse, you better make sure that the horse is moving in the right direction. Does that make sense? And there's a lot of women who's hooked their wagon to what they thought was a real white horse. Instead, it turned out to be a stubborn donkey. And and then the trouble starts. Does that make sense? Now, I don't want you to start calling your husband donkeys or anything like that, but please, let's take this to heart. And grandparents and parents, I wish there was more girls here this morning. We'll talk about, this is leadership, we'll talk about what does it mean to have a provider? What does it mean to have a protector? And we'll try to go through a little list like this in the future. With that, let's bow our heads in prayer and we'll conclude our service. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your word. And even though we didn't look and go through verse by verse this morning, as we have in the past looked at biblical principles, we pray that we could be wise, and particularly in this area. We just want to commit our country to you and the attack that we're seeing on masculinity, the attack on femininity. And we just pray that as we recognize that God has made male and female, and while in one sense we're equal, in another sense, we have different roles to play. And we just pray that men would be willing to be men and to lead, and that they would give women something to follow. And so we just pray that we could be wise in regards to this as we think of real men are leaders. And so we thank you for this reminder this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's stand together and sing the last verse.